Good morning again. It's like I'm back. I was here, I'm gone, I'm back. So good to see you. Thanks for coming out. Hey, if you're a guest today, we really want you to feel welcome. It's really important to us that you feel welcome. We say welcome home, and we're honored that you are here today. Some of you may have been at our extravaganza yesterday. Wow, what a day. Let me just give you a little information about our outreach yesterday. We had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 children that came yesterday. Then you add moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandmas, and we had well over 2,000 people come yesterday. Amazing day. So good. We had a great setup. The weather was mostly good. Mostly. So we're all right with that. It kind of rained on us a few times, and we found out none of us melted. It was great. It was awesome. If you were part of the serve team on that, thank you so much. To those that had the cars for the Easter egg walk, some of you are creative. I love it. You guys are amazing. So it was a packed out great day, and so we're so glad that you were a part of that. And so we call an event like that a bridge event. And so a bridge event would be an event that we hold that would bridge our city to our church. Because sometimes when you invite someone to church, they may go, I don't know about that. But if you say, hey, come to a free event, our pastor's going to be in the dunk tank, and you can throw a ball and dunk him in the dunk tank, they're like, hey, I'll come to that. And so that's how come 2,000 to 2,500 people came, because we had a bridge event. And it just gives us an opportunity to welcome them to a church where we're located. And then at some point, God will bring those people to see us, and then God changes lives. And so thank you for being a part of that. Next Sunday, just a quick announcement. Everybody knows what next Sunday is. Amazing day, Easter. It's going to be great. We'll have two services, 9:15, 11:15. So we'll have extra chairs in here. So it feels a little crowded today. Next week, there'll probably be twice as many people here. And so you're going to want to come a little early so you can get a good seat. The opening song next week is going to be just so amazing. And so don't be late. So get up a little earlier next week. Get your pretty dress on. Whatever you're going to wear, shine your shoes. It's Easter. You know, we dress up a little for Easter. And come on in. You don't have to dress up. I don't care what you wear. Wear your shorts. I don't care. But get here early so you don't miss what God is going to do in our Easter service. It's going to be so good. All right, so today, I want to talk to you today as we continue our series. And last week we talked about our series. We kicked it off with called What If? And you can see the title of it on the screen, What If? And it's just a two-word question. And out of that What If question, What If statement, it demands a response. And so when you say, what if this, then like, how do I respond to whatever is after that? And so last week we said, what if we truly believed in heaven and hell? And how would that affect our life? How would that impact us? If we truly believed in heaven, what decisions would we make out of that? And so it was a great message last week. Next week, when we kick into Easter, it'll be, what if I truly believe and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how will that impact your life if you truly believe it? Like, it's not just on a piece of paper. It's not what your mama believed. What do you believe? How do you respond to that? Today, though, as we talk about Palm Sunday, I want to take us to, what if I truly believe in the cross? What if I truly believe in the cross? The cross is a symbol of Christianity, but what does it mean? What is behind that? How do we understand that? And when we understand it, what kind of decisions does that help us to make? How do we live out of that? And so I'm going to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to say a prayer, and then I've really got a message I think is going to be really great for us, how to respond out of this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, you'll remember, friends. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, by the way. He's talking to the church in Corinth. And so in the city of Corinth, there was a church there. Paul's writing them. And he said, when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, he said, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. And verse 2 says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. Listen, I like a sermon that's plain and simple. And if you like that, you're at the right church, because that's the only way I know how to do it. I'm not that fancy. I just tell you what I think God's saying. I deliberately kept it plain and simple, and here's what he kept. First, Jesus and who he is, and then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. So the Apostle Paul, he made it real simple. And so today we want to pray and try to keep it real simple today. Amen. Lord, thank you for this day. God, I thank you for 15 years of a church. I thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. I thank you for every person that's here, for the guests that came with us today. We pray you bless them as well. Lord, I pray for this message that it would use it to help us get a better revelation of the cross. I pray that we would be able to live out of this in a brand new way today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give me an amen. Amen. All right. So, Apostle Paul, he said, first, I want to tell you about who Jesus is. He wanted to keep it simple. Who is Jesus? And then he said, let's talk about what he did. So first, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Plain and simple. He is the Son of God. And I was kind of trying to figure out the best way to describe someone. So like if I were to introduce you to my wife or my daughter, or my son, you know, I'd give you a lot of facts about their life. I would maybe describe them. I would say, you know, my wife, maybe she looks like this, my daughter's like this tall, or, you know, and so you try to describe them. And so I'm going to try to give you some descriptive ways of understanding who Jesus is. And so first of all, Jesus, he lived about 2,000 years ago. He is the central figure of Christianity. I was reading that he was the most and is the most influential person that has ever lived in human history. He was born to a young girl named Mary, who was a virgin. Jesus lived a sinless life here on earth. He laid down his heavenly position and his royalty of heaven to come be with us here on earth. And on earth, he preached that he was, in fact, the Son of God, and the kingdom of heaven was now here. And so he confronted the people with his message of he being the Son of God. He performed many miracles to prove his authority. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He ate with the sinners. He rebuked the religious people who opposed him. He is holy. He is pure. He was good. He was kind. He was merciful. He loved all people. He came with a purpose. He came to be crucified for our transgressions and for our sins. The Bible says in an extremely popular verse that you've heard, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that being Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Who is Jesus? Jesus came to save people from their sin. Jesus was crucified. He was whipped, beaten. He was hung on a cross to receive all the punishment for our sins upon himself. He died so that I might live and that you might live. After his death, Jesus was buried. 3 days later, God rose him from the grave to live again. He demonstrated God's power and authority over Satan, sickness, sin, and even death itself. Jesus was and is the Son of God, once crucified, now glorified. Jesus ascended back to heaven, now sits on the right hand of the Father on his throne. They sent the Holy Spirit now to come live in every person that believes in Jesus as their Savior. Now God, by his Spirit, makes his home inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not a temple made by human hands, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to live big inside of you today. He wants to live through you to be the hands and the feet of Jesus' representatives today. He does that so that every soul would know who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my healer. And Jesus is my hope. And that's why today I will praise him and worship him. I will serve him all the days of my life. Who is Jesus? Jesus asked this question to his disciples at one point. Probably one of the most profound moments of the disciples' life with Jesus. It came down to this amazing question he asked them in Matthew 16. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Now he'd been asking them, who do others say I am? And And he's like, do you think I'm just an important figure in history? Do you think I'm just influential? Do you think I'm just one of the prophets? Who do you think I am? And what he really wanted to know is, who am I to you? Who am I to you? Peter spoke up and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not a more profound statement, not a more profound moment in the life of the disciples. In fact, it is a fact that Jesus lived. It is a fact that people did begin to believe in him. Those are all facts of life, but it doesn't matter what anyone else believes. It comes down to, what do I believe? Who is Jesus to me? It's more important than any other question you'll ask in life. It's more important than what college you'll go to. It's more important who you'll marry. The most important thing you'll ever decide is, who is Jesus to you? But in order to get there today, I want to take you back to this simple, plain and simple text that Apostle Paul wanted us to get. He wanted us to know who Jesus is, and secondly, what he did. And so I want to tell you today what Jesus did, because it's important to understand this. What did Jesus do? Jesus was crucified for our sin. He was crucified. Crucifixion means to be brutally beaten and tortured and put to death by being nailed to a wooden cross to pay for a crime. That's what it means to be crucified. Jesus never committed a crime. He never sinned. But he was hung on a cross. The religious leaders, they were so maddened by his proclamation that he was the Son of God. They were so furious at it that they demanded that he be crucified for saying that he was the Son of God. And actually, this was God's plan all along, that Jesus would pay for a crime that he never committed. He paid for our sins. He was crucified. Jesus was whipped. Saying that doesn't even describe the brutality of what he went through. As we stand here on Palm Sunday today, as we recognize that this is when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and that's when he was accused. A few days later, he is now being wrongfully whipped, and his flesh was torn, his body was mangled. He was then led to carry a heavy cross beam to a hillside, and he was nailed to a cross, and he hung to die. And he was crucified, not for his crimes, but for the punishment of my sins and your sins. Jesus hung on a cross for 6 hours. About halfway through, about noon, the Bible says that darkness covered the earth. It was like a very dark moment. Dark for all. Dark. The Bible says in Matthew 27, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And then about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in this loud voice. So this would be 6 hours later. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, lemi sabachthani. And I probably mispronounced that. So he probably said it a little different. But what he was saying was, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried it out, why have you forsaken me? It's one of the most shocking moments of Scripture when you understand Jesus was calling out, why, God, have you forsaken me? Why, God, have you abandoned me? Why have you forgotten me at this moment? Why have you deserted me? And what was going on at this moment, it's interesting that at this very moment, as darkness covered the earth and he's dying on the cross, he's crying out to God. He says, my God. You know what's really interesting is that's the only time through Scripture that he calls his Heavenly Father God. Every other time it's my Father, Heavenly Father. This is the only time that he calls him my God. And the reason he did that is at this very moment, as Jesus was carrying the weight of sin, it began to bring that separation that always separates man from God, sin does. And suddenly it went to a place of separation. He couldn't feel the closeness of God in his life because sin was separating him. Instead of being able to call out my Father, he called out my God. God at a distance, not my Father who is close. Jesus paid a heavy price for you and I to go to heaven. Salvation is free for you and I, but it was expensive for Jesus. What was going on at this very moment? Let me teach you what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus became my substitute. Now, if you're a teacher, we have any teachers in the building? All right, so every student, you know what happens when your teacher can't be there. They send a substitute. And all the students love it. Because the teacher makes them work, substitute, it's easy, right? Think about Jesus. He's a substitute. He took the place. He was a substitute for us. A substitute takes the place of another person. Jesus became mine and your substitute. He took our place for the punishment that you and I deserved. He took it upon himself. He became our substitute for us. He took punishment for every sin in the world. Every sin that's ever been committed. Every sin that will ever be committed. Jesus became our substitute. You see, someone always has to pay for sin. It's either you or someone else. Every sin has to be paid for in some manner. And listen, it's such a tragic thought that Jesus died on the cross. We think about these moments where he suffered, he was beaten, he was whipped, and he went to the cross, he died. It's tragic when we think about it, but on the other hand, for you and I, because he was a substitute, it's the best news ever. It's the greatest news ever for you and I. God sent his son to be our substitute. It says in 1 John 2:2, it says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What does atonement mean? It's a big word. Atonement. Atonement means there must be a payment for some damage done. A payment for damage done. And he was the payment for our damage. I was trying to think of a good illustration, and I was watching the Masters this week. You have any Masters watchers? Come on, I know. Well, only two of us. Yesterday, after the extravaganza, I laid on my chair, zombied, watching the Masters. Tiger Woods, he's coming on strong. Can you believe that? The golf clap, they want to give a golf clap. It's okay. Awesome. I was thinking, how do I illustrate damage done? How do we illustrate atonement? I was thinking that, like, maybe today after church and we're celebrating 15 years and I'm inspired by golf and I'm like, I got to go play golf. Have you ever watched golf and then you got to go play golf? I mean, that's how it works. And you see the Masters, it's beautiful, and you see them hitting these amazing shots and somehow you think, well, I can do that. I can't, but you think you can, so you're inspired to go play golf. So I'm inspired to go play golf. And so let's just say hypothetically that I decide I'm going to play golf this afternoon and I talk to one of my buddies and he's got this brand new tailor-made golf club. He paid $650 for this driver. It's beautiful. And I said, hey, you know what? It's a 15-year anniversary. Can I borrow your $650 tailor-made driver? And so let's just say for this day that I'm having the day of my life. God's just blessing me and gracing me because, you know, it's 15 years and I'm hitting them straight all day long. And I'm having the best day of my life on the golf course. And I get to number 18 and I score the best score of my entire life. And I pull out that new driver and I just shank that sucker right in the pond. And then just as golf can always do, if you've ever played golf, you know it's going to bring the worst out in you. And so let's just say I lose my cool for a moment and I just smack that brand new 650 club on the ground and I break it and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so atonement would mean I got to pay for that club. Somebody's got to pay for the damage done. And that's what it looks like for us with sin. Somebody has to pay for the damage done. Can I just break the heavy for a moment? You feel the heaviness of today? It should. I mean, it's a heavy day. Sacrifice, cross. I have a joke for you. I've been saving this joke, too. So listen, it's a good heavy sermon, you know, but we got to laugh a little bit. So promise me at the end of this, you will laugh. To our friends that are here, you don't know, I'm the worst joke teller ever. And I always tell them you have to laugh because it's not funny, but it's okay. So there was this pastor one day who was really tired and didn't want to go to church. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever like, oh, I don't feel like going to church? Come on, admit it. You've been there. Raise your hand up. Yeah, so I didn't feel like going. You're here today, so you're good. Don't raise both hands, Drew. But So, but sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you're like, I don't know if I want to go to church today. So there was hypothetically this pastor that he didn't want to go to church. And he decided he's going to lay out of church, kind of last minute, gets up Sunday morning. So he calls one of his staff members and he says, hey, I'm not feeling so well. You got to preach today. I'm going to be home. Pray for me. So the staff pastor says, oh, man, I hope you feel better. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, and hangs up the phone. And so staff pastor takes care of Sunday. The senior pastor goes, man, that was a great prayer. I feel better. I believe I'm going to go play golf instead of going to church. And so lead pastor now goes to play golf at Sunday morning. Everyone else is at church. And he gets up on this first hole, and he hits the drive of a lifetime. I mean, that sucker just goes and goes and goes. And he's out there by himself, and he's like, wow, what a shot. And then God looks down from heaven with his angels, and God sends an angel to the golf ball. And he says, go take that golf ball and kick it up and knock it in the hole for him. So he has a hole in one today. And the angel said, well, why in the world would we bless him for laying at a church? And God said, oh, it's so funny. Who's he going to tell? Come on. Thank you for laughing. It means so much to me. 15 years, we'll learn to tell a joke. Hey, let me take us back to the gravity of some of this. The Bible said that Jesus was our atonement. In other words, he paid for our sin, the damage done. The Bible teaches us that every sin has to be punished because God is completely holy. He's completely righteous. And so sin makes you and I unholy. It makes us unrighteous. It separates us from God. But when our sin is paid for, when there's punishment for our sin, then it washes away our sin. It makes us clean. We become righteous, and we can come into a relationship with the Father because of the atonement that Jesus Christ did for us. That's the good news for us. Every rape, every murder, every sex trafficker, every lie, every time someone has stolen, harsh words, anything that's sin has to be punished in a way that is pleasing to God and makes us righteous before him. And because I am the one that sinned, it is upon me, it's my responsibility for my punishment. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, he came to be my substitute. He took my punishment upon himself. I was forgiven of every single sin I've ever committed and will ever commit. Church, he was crucified for my forgiveness. He hung on the cross for my forgiveness. He died for my forgiveness. Church, Jesus was forsaken for my forgiveness. Amen, church? Come on, give Jesus a clap. He's worthy. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And so to keep it plain and simple, who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. And what did Jesus do? Church, here's what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus was crucified on the cross as a substitute for my sin so that I can be totally forgiven, brought into relationship with God, and go to heaven when I die. Man, that's good news today. Come on, give him a shout, give him a clap. Good news today. And so, if I truly believed that, what if I truly believed in the cross? That how would I live out of that? What decisions would I make from that? And so, first, if I were here today and my pastor had just shared with me about the cross and the substitute and that my sin has to be paid for and that Jesus said that he would do it for me, you know, what would be my response to that? And first, it's back where I was last week with A, B, C, and D. And let me explain to you A, B, C, and D. A, I would admit I need a Savior. I mean, that would be the first thing I would do. Look, I need a Savior because I personally cannot pay for my sin. I can't be good enough. I can't go to church enough. I can't jump through enough hoops. It's impossible for me to do it on my own. I need a Savior. And B, how do I find my Savior? I believe in Jesus who died for me. He was crucified on the cross. He became my substitute. As a result, C, I would commit myself completely to Jesus. I would commit myself completely to Jesus. That would be my whole life. That would be nothing more. I'm so grateful for what he did. I completely give myself to Jesus. And then every day I would depend on God daily. That would be the first thing I would do if I were here today. I would be like, that's me right there. A, B, C, D, count me in, Pastor. But after that, a few things that maybe are worth considering for us today. If I truly believed, and I just grasped at this moment that Jesus was crucified, that he died a painful death for me, that he hung on the cross, he became my substitute so that I can be completely forgiven, here's a few things that would happen in my life. Number one is I would worship with more passion. I would worship with more passion because my appreciation for the salvation that was paid for me would cause a response inside of me to come out to where I couldn't just be casual about my worship anymore. I couldn't just come to Life CC and go, cool song. No, I would grasp the depth of what he paid, that he has given me eternal life. And the moment that I heard the first note at the church and they said whatever they were going to say to get us started worship, I would be on the front row, my hands up, going, Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus did it all. I have a new life because of Jesus. My worship would be different if I really grasped it. I would love Jesus so much more than anything I would ever fear in the world. Next, I would really grow my relationship with God. If I really grasped the cross and I just had this deep understanding that I could not pay for my own sin and that Jesus was a substitute for me, then out of that I would go, well, I want to know the one that has saved my life. I want to know the one that's so full of grace and so full of sacrifice for me. I want to know him better and better. And that is a response for just the fact that he is my substitute. He died for me. Man, it would change the way I approached God. Like instead of having to read my Bible because I have to, I would be like, I get to know him. Instead of prayer being like, I got to check that box this morning so that, you know, I can, you know, like, or some of you have the app. You have one of those apps and it tells you, you know, the streak of how many times that you've read your Bible. So there's a Bible app and it tells you your streak, how many times you read your Bible. Well, you know, you're like, you're out of fear. You got to get that Bible reading in because if you've been doing it for 126 days and then you miss a day, you go back to zero. So out of fear of missing that day, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I got to open my app. You know what people do is they just open their app while they're driving their car. I got it in, click, because I got to get it. Listen, it's not a have to. If you understand the grace of Jesus Christ, that he has died for your sins and you have a relationship with the Father, he did all the hard part. All I have to do is grow in my relationship. Man, it's great. It's wonderful. If that were me, I would. Now, listen, this is just me. I'm not trying. Listen, you're here today. I'm going to say this, but you're here today, so don't take this personally, all right? But I would never miss a church service if I could help it. Because Jesus said, I'm building my house. And so if he's all about it, I want to be all about it. See, that's the whole thought. You know, what changes in my life when I understand the the price that was paid? What changes in my life when I think about his sacrifice? What decisions? How do I live different? Because I think out of a response to what Jesus did, I live different. I don't live the same life. I live different. Number three, I would live, I'm not even sure if this is a word, freer. I would live freer. That's a word. I would live freer from guilt and shame from my past failures. I would live so much freer if I really grasped that all of my sins were forgiven. You see, sin is this nasty trap that holds us in bondage. And we live in guilt and we live in shame and we even live in fear of what others might think of us or what might happen to us. But if we grasp the cross, that at the cross Jesus has set us free from the bondage of sin, then we would live a little freer in our life and we wouldn't live in fear. We wouldn't live in like, oh, I hope, you know, I don't get found out. You just go, listen, by the grace of Jesus, I am forgiven of everything that I have ever done. So many people walk around with so much guilt from their past. Some of you are like, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Fair. You don't know what I've done. We all have a story. And listen, the enemy is so good at making every one of us feel like something in our life was bigger than the cross. And I want to tell you right now, that's a lie from the devil. The cross. If you really believe the cross, you would be completely free and you wouldn't walk in guilt and shame anymore. You're 100% forgiven today. Amen? Here's another thing. I would want to sin less and live for God more if I believed in the cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what's right. The appreciation. We have a little dog. Her name is Zoe. Our little dog, she's 15 years old. And she was kind of like a rescue dog. So we picked her up and the owner was mean. I'm still mad at that owner. He had all these little puppies in a room, and our little dog, she wet in the floor, and he kicked her while we were there. Oh, I was like, our little dog was the runt, and so she could never get close to mama because the other dogs were mean, the puppies were mean, and then he wouldn't put them outside to go to the bathroom. We were just undone. We said, we want that little one. We want that little runt. Let me tell you what, that little dog was so happy we rescued her. She lived to please her mommy and daddy all the way up till about last year when she turned 15. She doesn't care anymore. But let me tell you, when you have such an appreciation for your salvation and someone has rescued you and saved you, you live different, and that's what happens. You live different. If I truly grasped the cross, I would have greater faith for healing. The Bible says that He carried our sins on His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin, live for what is right. It says, by His wounds we are healed. And so when we pray for healing, the Bible says that by His wounds we are healed. By His wounds, like He paid for healing in our bodies. That was not a small price He paid. Next, I would forgive people more. I would forgive everyone who has offended or hurt or betrayed me because I have been forgiven. I would forgive that guy that had our little dog. I'm working on it now. And last, as I close, I would tell someone about Jesus. I would say, you got to meet the man that changed my life. You got to meet Jesus. Before Jesus, I carried my sin. I carried my weight. I carried my guilt. Before Jesus, I really just didn't have a hope. I would tell my friends, but I met this one, and His name is Jesus. And He changed my life. Can I introduce you to my Savior today? His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And He died on the cross so that I can be free from my sin and have a relationship with the Father. If you don't know Him, today would be a great day to meet Jesus. Would you bow your heads for this moment? Father, if there are people here that have never met Jesus, I pray at this moment they would make a decision that they would A, admit they need a Savior, B, they'd believe in Jesus, C, they would commit their life to Him, and D, they'd begin to depend on Him. With every head bowed, can I just take this moment and ask you, between me and you, do you know Jesus today? Who is He to you? If you're here today, would you be bold enough? No one's looking except you and I. Would you just lift your hand to me and say, Pastor, today I want to commit my life to Christ. Is there anybody here who would just do that with me? God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Hey, let's say this prayer out together. We're going to say it out loud. Let's all say it. Dear Heavenly Father, I admit I need a Savior. I believe in Jesus. I commit my life to Him today. I'm ready to depend on Him every day of my life. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, church.